overspending in personnel of 253 million, an underspending in capital of 140 million, but a big underspending on non-personnel, non-capital, such as Eastern Cape, the end of the financial year. The Free State, overspending of 11 million rand, underspending of 15 million personnel, overspending of 12 million capital, overspending of 15 million non-personal, non-capital. The Smart Province, again, the biggest underspending, 647 million. 606 million was personnel underspending housing. Then there was overspending on capital of 86 million. There was underspending of 127 million. Non-personnel, non-capital. KZN 142 underspending, overspending. Then there was underspending KZN of 131 million. Overspending capital KZN of 58 million. Overspending 215 million non-personnel, non-capital KwaZulu. Limpopo underspending 84 million. 64 million personnel, 17 million underspending capital, 5 million non-personnel, non-capital. Mpumalanga, 217 million underspending, 24 million personnel underspending, 50 million capital underspending, 141 non-personnel, non-capital underspending, Mpumalanga. Northern Cape, 5 million underspending, 701,000 personnel underspending, 2.4 million underspending capital, 2.5 non-personnel, non-capital underspending. Northwest, non-capital, 121 million. Western Cape, 198 million. Underspend. 135 million personnel underspending. 34.4 capital underspending. And 28 non-personnel, non-capital. Now, the questions are, what are the implications of these trends for the quality of education in your provinces then? What are the implications of personnel understanding in Gauteng and Western Cape on educator-learner ratios, given the migration patterns? Now, are class sizes increasing in those two provinces? Now, the overspending in personnel in the Eastern Cape and the Northwest, are these two large departments in control of their HR sections? Now, then the issue of learner support materials and the quality of education is another one in respect of non-personnel, non-capital. Now, let's hope then that you have between that time and now, resolve these problems that as we see at the end of the financial year. And this is why we gave you this period between that time and now, so that we start talking to you. But I suspect there are new challenges in terms of this financial year. And so, let's allow then National Treasury just to lay the basis for the discussion in terms of the education portfolio now, and then we'll take it from there. Over to you, sir. say.
Good morning, everybody. I'm just going to take you very quickly through some of the expenditure and trends at the 30th of September. Okay. Can I say that? Right. Now, the overview of the presentation, broad observations on provincial budgets very briefly, and then the focus on education budgets, particularly on capital expenditure, personnel, non-personnel, non-capital, and conditional grants. There may be a presentation that you have that is a much longer one than this. There's a whole lot of other provincial detail, and I've just taken out the education-related slides from there in the pack. So just some of the broad observations. The presentation covers spending for the first 6 months. Broadly, provincially, spending is on track with spending at about 46% or 96.9 billion at the moment, with a projected overspending of... Yes.
Provinces have nothing.
Not of the small one. I can do the big one and then skip slides. But that's basically what I've done here. I've taken out the provincial things that are not related to education. Yeah. Okay. So maybe I can just skip that and go to the first education page in your pack. Okay. So I think it's called Education 1. Spending at 42.5 billion or 47.9% against the overall budget of 88.7 billion. Yes. I can give you this along. Okay. All right. Some of the things that I'll focus on a little later on as well. Education personnel spending at 49.1%. Goods and services, which is mostly learner support material, at 3.2 billion or 32.4% of a 10 billion rand budget. And capital spending somewhat low at 1.5 billion or 38% at this stage. However, capital spending is significantly up on last year at the same stage where it was at 28.7%. Quite a big concern at this point in the Eastern Cape at 18.2% and the Northwest at 22.4%, which I'll touch on again later on, just very briefly. There are the overall expenditure figures for education, with the projections in the middle column there. I think just to highlight Northwest, we're looking to overspend by just over a billion rand. That is primarily as a result of poor or undercalculations with regard to the changes as a result of demarcation, and so it's been corrected in the adjusted estimates, in the adjusted budgets of the Northwest at the moment, or there's an attempt to correct it anyway. You see the same pattern, you'll see the same pattern throughout for the Northwest. There again, public ordinary schools, Northwest looking to overspend by quite a bit, and some of the other provinces as well. And I mean, just talking about the overspending projections at this point, this excludes some of the rollovers that still have to be added to departments' budgets, as well as some of the other adjustments processes that will happen now during the adjustment budget process. And that usually levels out some of the over expenditure projections going forward. For personnel, the same thing still in Northwest with the smaller projections in some of the other provinces. But as I say, with some of the additional allocations that are being put into the equitable share, as well as rollovers, that tends to equalize a lot of these projections. The capital, just we're going to stand still here for a short bit. If we just look at the two circles in red there, those are the two provinces that are spending very slowly at the moment. Eastern Cape only at 18.2%, Northwest at 22.4%, and we're halfway through the year. So that's a little bit of a concern. At the bottom line there, the two circles, the one indicating the actual payments as a collective across all provinces at this point stands at 58%, which is up on 28.7% from last year at the same point. So while 58% is not great, it is a whole lot better than where we were last year at the same time. The non-personnel, non-capital, again, up quite a bit on last year at the same point. And if we move on to conditional grants, that's just the flow of information around that. If we look at the block, three blocks down, the one that focuses on education, considering that we're halfway through the year, the number of provinces spending less than 35% on the three grants for education. You'll see that HIV and AIDS, the life skills education grant, there's six provinces in that category, and that's quite a big concern, I think, generally around that grant. The National School Nutrition Program doing somewhat better with most of the provinces in the over 45% block. We'll look at some of the details of those in a minute. The FET colleges grant, the recapitalization grant, generally this shows very healthy expenditure on the provincial education budget, on their budget, because they transfer the monies to the colleges. And so if we look at the bold, the sentence that's in bold there, that's really what we want to look at here, is how much the colleges spend of what they're getting from the provinces. And at the moment, they've spent 62.9% of what they've received from provinces. So, also a little bit slow in the beginning, I think. The HIV and AIDS grant, I think I spoke about that. Already this is the big concern in terms of the conditional grant. Only 25.9% of the nearly 158 million transfers to provinces have only been spent thus far. With the lowest spending in KZN at under 12% and Limpopo at 16%. And then the National School Nutrition Program, where spending is at an average of about 44% for the year so far. I suppose some of that will have been affected by, some of the rollout of that program will have been affected by the teacher strike earlier in the year as well. Okay. That's all. Thank you very much.
Alright. Thanks about that. Now let's say I had some interaction with the MEC Western Cape. I just want to let's allow him to talk to us now and see what they are saying about these things in the Western Cape.
For the document for Western
Cape. MEC Dagmo. Your own presentation, do we have it somewhere?
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. There is just a written document.
Yeah.
public hearings on conditional grants and all of the various conditional grants are dealt with. It's not an overhead presentation. It's just in this document. So I want to check everything.
No, that's fine.
Okay. But Chair, thank you very much. Just before we go on to the conditional grant and the capital expenditure, which we understand to be the purpose of this hearing today, I think it's very fortunate that we have a representative of the National Treasury with us. Not because we want to use this opportunity to raise certain concerns, because I think we will also raise those concerns to our premiers and to our MECs for finance. But I think it is important that from our province side we are able just to reflect on one or two things which flow out of this presentation, and I just want to spend a few minutes on that. A chairperson, you read out when you started the meeting the issues of underspending and overspending. And for instance, in regard to our province, you reported on the extensive underspending in regard to personnel. Now the reality is, and I'm sure this affects all provinces, is that literally for the last 3 years, because of the failure to reach agreement at both the Public Service Bargaining Council nationally, as well as the National Education Labor Relations Council, which convened after the strike was settled, we have been having to roll over funds literally for 3 years now. Firstly, in regard to the teacher incentives, which are supposed to go towards scarce skills teachers, math, science, teachers in the rural areas, and so on. And because of a failure to reach agreement, essentially, we've been involved in rollovers. So that figure that you read out for our province is not because we couldn't, because we didn't want to spend the money. And I really welcome this opportunity to raise with our leaders in the NCOP and the National Assembly that for as long as we don't take decisive action to declare on both the occupation-specific dispensation as well as the issue of the incentive, we are actually keeping money out of the pockets of teachers. And we are going to come back to this committee year after year and say that we couldn't spend the money. That is an issue which needs to be settled at a national level, and we understood that the OSD discussion should have been concluded by the 31st of October. If they were not, they would go back to the Public Service Bargaining Council, and then there would be a declaration by the Minister for the Public Service. That has not happened yet. We understand those negotiations are ongoing, and I'm not suggesting that there might not be real issues that are being raised by the unions. But the reality is that we are denying hard-working teachers additional resources which they should be getting. And I that's the first point I wanted to make. But the second point, Chair, that, you know, we also have an unintended consequence now, because, for instance, in regard to contract teachers in our province, we have a number of those. Basically, on average, these contract teachers who have not been getting benefits before are now, on average, going to get 37% benefits. I'm not even talking about the 7.5% increment that was eventually agreed. But the reality is that this does not appear to have been planned for by the Treasury. We are now being told as a province that we have to implement the 37% which would go towards the benefits which contract teachers have never had, and we are supposed to fund it from our equitable share. And I wonder, you know, what is the issue of the Treasury? I don't think we can expect our colleague here to respond to that, because those issues, I think, are being raised at the National Cabinet itself and so on. But that is a particular concern. I've referred to the OSD issue, and then also just in regard to the simple issue of the salary adjustment, and the colleague has said that they, a lot of these matters are going to be dealt with in the adjustment. But at this point in time, we have heard that our province is going to be expected to fund half of the 7.5% increment. Now, we have been given an allocation. Now, there was an agreement nationally that teachers must get 7.5%, leave aside what the extra money that teachers are going to get. in terms of the OSD and who exactly. Some teachers will get another 2% above the seminars, others will get 15 or even some of a few 20%. And the information that we have, Chair, which I want to bring to this committee's attention, is that we have no guarantee at this point in time as we sit that the full 7.5%, which was agreed nationally, would be funded. I also want to indicate that I think our province, and I'm sure one or two other provinces, are facing the issue of pressure on our resources given both in-migration and colleagues coming from other countries, deep learners coming from other countries, other provinces. Our census has now shown what we've been saying all along, that our provincial population has grown by 17%. And I think it's very critical that there is then a concomitant sponsorship of that. So I just wanted to say those points by way of introduction, because I think that if the members of the committee were not aware of those issues, that these are the issues that we as provinces need the support of your committee chairperson to highlight these particular issues. But
let me also bring something to your own attention. That here we've also observed the committee is again the bond of concern. We've held public hearings on this document, provincial budgets 03-04 up to 2010. Now, what we've seen here, this book was called the IGFR at some stage. Now it's called provincial budget. Now what we've seen and observed then, again as a problem, which is not coming from nationally. Nationally, looking at this document, you are able to see that budgets are growing. But then internally in your own provinces, the education equitable share is declining. That's another matter. Before we even talk the issue again. Now, part of then the bigger challenge is whether provinces have decided not to prioritize education. We were dealing with health yesterday. The same trend is very visible. In fact, it's three portfolios. It's health, education, and roads. Now, our own concern is where this money goes to. Clearly, for instance, there is a formula in respect of what must go to education, health, etc. But that is declining in your own province. Discussions at EBSCO are informing this. It's a matter we have raised with the provincial treasuries. We intend raising sharply with the provincial treasury. We intend raising with your own EBSCOs. So that as you are raising the other issues you are raising, this area must also not be compromised by your own provincial excellence. Well, part of the bigger concern for us is we're not sure where this money then goes to, for instance. It would be nice to know what it goes to and what it does. There's one department here yesterday that said annually they are losing 100 million rand annually. Now, if you look at the MTBBS, for instance, a proposal for more funding, and we do want to urge colleagues to observe this thing clearly, so that this additional funding must be more visible, and it's problematic. Now, we will be engaging everybody just in terms of ensuring that these monies are not lost in terms of. For instance, Northwest has every department, even the premier department, has a pocket of some development fund. Now, what that does is to compromise the equitable share. Then, part of the bigger problem is what we suspect ourselves is that these three are made to suffer because there is also the conditional grant, infrastructure grant to provinces, which must benefit take your place in hell and enroll. But again, the way it is dispersed by your own provincial treasury is wrong. Because they are not doing it on the basis of the law. So I'm saying there's a whole range of things that I think basically must have been addressed first before we even then go to the other issues that are raised. But it would also be nice if the kind of information that you're talking about is in writing, so that we find a way of following that up whilst we are dealing with the division of revenue bill, for instance, and so on. But there would be no way, there shall be no way in which these allocations must be compromised. We do want to ensure. And I think I'm myself, I can also raise this matter at the Budget Council. I do see that Budget Council. Just to observe and just see exactly why. Especially, not only the Western Cape, any other province that tends to be compromised in the sense of this aspect. Now, having then said that, without urging then colleagues to be mindful of these problems that we speak up here, I mean, so much understanding on non-personal, non-capital. What is the implication? Clearly there's something wrong. We were sitting here yesterday, and maybe you are going to tell us some story to me today. In fact, your provincial treasurers have told us some of the stories. One province, health, has outsourced emergency services, transport. That's a provincial decision. So clearly there are problems of compromising service delivery. Over to you, MC.
Thanks very much, Chair. Now, we will definitely provide your office with a not only a detail on some in terms of some of the issues I've raised, but also provide a copy of the presentations made to National Treasury concerning the issue of equitable share and so on. And we'll give that to you by the end of the month, if that's okay, Chair. Okay. Not to take a lot of time, what we've got in this document, first of all, deals with the conditional grant in regard to the nutrition program, and you would see on the first page there that we had hit 100% in 05-06. It appears that we hit 95% in 06-07, but in fact the 2 million that is reflected there was actually then spent and brought us up to 99%. At this stage of the second quarter, Chair, we are on 52.3, and as I think the Treasury report indicated, we are on track in that regard. We do have the capacity, as the report is, to monitor this expenditure. The monthly reports are okay. And then in regard to those concluding remarks, we there have the number of learners that are being fed, the number of schools, and a very encouraging development in our province. We've actually now finally managed to establish about 251 school gardens at particularly targeted schools in our lower quintiles. And I also want to say that in terms of the kitchens that we've actually provided to the schools, we have now 95 plus that 18. We've got 95 plus 18 kitchens that we've provided, and we are also increasing the stipend of the volunteers drawn from the community. At the moment, Chair, just another piece of information is that we are feeding at 116 high schools. You would remember, Chair, that your committee was instrumental in raising the expansion of the school feeding scheme in the financing fiscal gearing. And, that the decision in that report of FSG has now been made, but we look forward to actually seeing, to what extent that will translate into additional resources so that we can expand and do away with the dichotomy where one family's children might be fed in a primary school, but not in a high school. And just the last point on this is to say that we are in our province involved in a program to reshape the school day. We believe that one of the critical things to do is to have our learners in our historically disadvantaged schools at school from 8 in the morning until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. In many of the former Model C schools, you can do this. with his additional social capital. So we want a situation where we can feed learners in the morning, give learners lunch, and that the learners can stay on in terms of reshaping the school day. That can only happen if we have more dedicated support. Then on the next one, Chair, I'm pleased to report that in regard to the conditional grant for HIV/AIDS life skills allocation, that you would see there that over the last year since 2002 we've spent all of our budget, and at this point, as the Treasury report also showed, we're on 40.9. Just got a few points there about our monitoring capacity, which now will be increased. Chair, I'm sorry, I don't know if you wanted that, but I forgot you to say that this is the newly appointed Chief Director, Mr. Lewis. We have our new director, Mr. Sopotela, sitting behind us. I don't know if you, and these are other officials from the chief directors from FET, nutrition program, and the media liaison, obviously, there. But to save time, I won't introduce them all. But within the redesign, we've also strengthened our service teams, and I think that's going to help us in the monitoring, the monthly report. I just think what's quite interesting in those concluding remarks, that obviously your committee and all of us should be concerned at what is the impact of this money. And you would see that what we're very happy about is that if you look at our annual antenatal survey, there has been in our province a reduction in the teenage HIV infection rate. It was at 8.7 in 2003, and it's actually moved down to 7.2. And I think that this is an indication that the investment in regard to life skills, the peer education programs, and so on, are having some impact. And then there's also a reference made to Professor Fisher's study comparing the risk behavior in a number of our secondary schools, and you would see there that it is, what is happening now is a significant delay in first intercourse that was reported in 2004 compared to 2007. So the average age of delay of sexual debut has been extended from about 16 and a half years to 17 and a half years, where young people are delaying their first engagement in sexual activity. But I think we would want to do more. But once again, like we raised with the National Nutrition Program, we do have capacity, we believe, in our province, but with more budget, we feel we could actually do more. I would then like to say, Chair, moving on from the conditional grant for HIV, AIDS, and our life skills, we were also very proud of one of our programs which received a Commonwealth Award that our department has been driving in regard to the peer education. The infrastructure, I think, as the National Treasury report, and you, it did come down hard on us last year, but we're very happy to say that, in fact, at the end of the 06-07 year, we overspent by 451,000, and our shortcomings, which we reported the last time on staff, are being addressed in terms of our redesign. And two new directorates, one headed by Ms. Sopotela, have come in on the 1st of October. And our 21 staff in the Directorate of Physical Resource Planning is going to actually increase to 42. 29 staff members to the Operational Support Directorate, and another 13 to the planning, the new planning directorate within the planning branch. The IGP funds, just to say that we want to give you a sense there of what our actual allocations were. 82 moved up to 126 and then down to 80. And I think the point we're trying to make there, Chairperson, is the inconsistency in regard to these impacts on planning. We would like to hand out, just for your information, a description of our infrastructure backlog of 4.5 billion. I think we've seen a big move towards equity with no fee schools, norms and standards. But the problem, Chair, is that in this country we've never had a specific redress fund for infrastructure. We believe that if we carry on in the current way, it's going to take us 30 years before every school has a library, a sports facility, and so on, which many former Model C schools have come to accept as the norm. And in our province, we would like your support in going for a PPP where we borrow 4.5 billion, and that you guys don't have a problem with us using the allocation that we have to service a loan. So you have a build, operate, transfer. After 12 years of paying back the loan, we get that money, and we really would require the support of Treasury. But otherwise, budgets stay the same. It's going to take us 30 years. You've got a description of that. We spent 73% of our budget by September. We anticipate spending all the funds. And what's really helped us, and we want to thank the Treasury for that, the PISA, the structure where you have National Treasury and other consultants who are bringing public works in our province and education together, that is really assisting us. And just to say that we will be finishing 7 primary and 4 secondary schools by the end of September, because we've also said that we don't want to have a school ready in January. We want the school ready by the end of the year so that we can put in the chairs and the tables and so on. And then the final thing is the FET recapitalization. You would see there that last year we spent 100%, and I think as the Treasury report indicates, we're on 49.7% at this point in time. Service level agreements in terms of PFMA are in place, and then you will see we have some concluding remarks there about the educators that we've capacitated, the fact that we're fully networked now with the LAN and the WAN system, that all of our six colleges, workshops have been upgraded. What we're very excited about, Chair, is that we are trying in this province to have an FET presence in every category of the municipality. So you don't just have one college sitting there in George or Plett or wherever you have and the recap money has allowed us to do this and so on. And then the equipment for the NCD programs and the LCSM and so on are cheap. We now, the FET in our province is now, it used to be a director, it's now a chief director. So I just think in conclusion, want to just point out that one of the problems as well is that when we look at our infrastructure budget, leave aside the recap, we only look at schools, we just forget about colleges. So when the recap money ends, we have to get into a thinking of saying that money is also supposed to be for the infrastructure needs at our colleges as well. So I think in conclusion, Chair, I think we've taken the concerns that you've raised, and we've got additional capacity, and with the help of the Treasury on the IDIP situation, I think we are improving on the children's society. We would really like your support on pinning down the figures to expand the feeding scheme and our HIV AIDS program so that we can have more of an impact. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, MEC. See, part of the problem is exactly the inconsistency you raise in terms of the ICT. And one of our concerns again is the basis of allocation, because the Western Cape has in the current financial year 411 million, and you are given only 80 million. Now it's 3 portfolios. In fact, we will find out ourselves exactly what was the basis. We'll have to talk to your own provincial treasurer. Because, again, the book is clear. Division of Revenue Act. You must be given this money on the basis of your capacity to manage and implement infrastructure program. And so, the more you perform, the more you must be given. But also, there is a formula that favors education and social. So, these are some of the things we want to hammer. In terms of your own provincial treasury, they are really doing all sorts of wrong things. All of your treasury. Because clearly then it means there is something wrong. Firstly, there is a guideline, national guideline. But number two, there is the law. If the department has the capacity to spend, it must be given more money. So I think those are matters that we shall deal with ourselves. We don't have to worry about. Can we have questions, comments, and clarities, member? Western Cape.
Mr. Pepin, and thank you to Dennis. The Petrom voice doesn't work here. Okay. That's fine. So I think that I think that you covered me with your first comment in terms of perhaps going to the your budget forum in terms of dealing with what the NEC was talking about. However, I thought that the NEC was saying these monies were allocated to the previous years and had been rolled over over the years. Then one would suppose that maybe they are kept somewhere until such time that we are able to. Can I just get clarity that is my understanding correct, that these funds were budgeted for over the years, and therefore at least a certain amount, the provinces do have a certain amount of money, might not cover the whole, what you call a budget that was set. Okay. I think that the other important focus is the fact that now, at least as provinces, we are realizing that it is not only the primary school children can be fed. While they pass primary and progress to high school, children will end up not wanting to go to high school because they want to get fed. And clearly, on these days where some of the households are headed by these children themselves, I think that it's appreciated that at least they get something while other provisions that have been made with the Department of Social Services. I think that the other thing, Mr. President, you have really commented about, especially about the allocation of your ICT, I think that can cover it. So.
And the IGP, just to give one clarity, our we made a big push in the Executive Council to advance our, to take the third year MTEP allocation projected for IGP, to bring it forward so we could speed up the process of boarding schools. Then they gave it to us 2 years back, and then they reduced it in the third year. So that explains this. Now whether that is legal or, but I'm just saying that's what happened in our province.
All right, let's just hear the National CFO is here. Thanks for coming. And why is this issue of the...
Before we start, can we get that clarification in writing as well? Because they will have to be, I will have to check as to how much has the province received in the previous years and whether this allocation is correct. But also, the basis of the allocation is
just to this issue of the personnel, the salaries, the MEC topic, to the rollovers and rollovers, what's going on there? What is the big problem? Of course, he made an impassioned plea that this matter must be resolved as soon as possible. The OSD issues and so on and so on. Are the problems just besides the protracted negotiations? What should we expect? Because also, if you're looking at the MTBDS, there's a clear, I think, 15 billion allocated for additional funding in terms of the salary. So, well, what could be the problem? Is it yourself? And what are you doing about that?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and apologies for the Director General who's going to go back to Paris for UNESCO responsibilities. Honorable Chairperson, I think there's a few dimensions that we need to take into account here. That the rollover of funds is very specific prescripts around that, National Treasury prescripts around that, and that need to be a year to when you request rollover funds. So, off the cuff, I will not know precisely what has happened in the province, but I'm sure that as all departments have to abide with those prescripts, it is something that needs to be taken into account. Then secondly, Honourable Chairperson, I think with the negotiations, it is still an ongoing process at this stage. You may have even seen the other Sunday, the advert in the Sunday papers to, in a way, just state education's position and what is the actual offer that is that is on the table, and that the unions have not yet accepted. But it is an ongoing saga. What the funding of it, the concerns around that, Honourable Chairperson, the Minister of Finance has already a year ago set an amount, I think it was 6 billion at that stage, aside, and certain improvements in conditions of service, for example, school principals, has never yet been implemented because there's never yet been an agreement that the unions would not accept these 2 days. And then the Minister of Finance has now, again in his medium term, has indicated funding for the purpose. So we are quite certain that we are operating in negotiating within a set framework and funding that has already been announced by the Minister of Finance. The total amount, Honourable Chairperson, that you refer to is not only for education, but it includes health and so forth as well. And then what the Minister of Finance's letter to the Minister of Education indicated is that yes, a lot of this funding, a great deal of it, is for just improvements of conditions of service of existing educators. But attention also needs to be given to possible additional appointments for the system in terms specifically of support staff. And if we say support staff, we are indicating that it's, for example, subject advisors or whatever to assist the teacher in the classroom as well as administrative support staff, because the system is sort of growing and it is also complicated if the administrative support side doesn't grow in the same ratio. And then you could find other kinds of administrative difficulties that could occur in the future. So, in a nutshell, Chairman.
See, part of the problem is that your own provinces have what they call provincial and growth development strategies. Now, if they do then what I was saying earlier, how do they hope to achieve the objectives set in the provincial and growth development strategies? For instance, if road budgets decline, how do you hope to grow the economy when there are no roads? If the budget of health declines and you have ill people, how do you have program a growing economy with people getting sick? If education budgets decline, how do you hope to have skilled people to grow the economy? Problem. So clearly, these are very critical sectors. If people are reducing in these sectors, they are then negating their own provincial and growth strategy. Clearly. Growth, health, and education. This has come next with those. We're talking skills on a daily basis. I mean, if for instance you reduce roads, how do kids walk to schools? How do they go to school? Where do we build schools? Where do we build clinics where there are no roads? So clearly there is a direct link between all of these things. I'm raising this because I do want you to raise these things sharply with your own colleagues. Because the PGDS has no pillars to stand on if education is stripped. And it's even worse if people would then strip off the IGP. What then becomes the budget of your education, building of schools, etc., etc.? How do you build schools if this thing could be stripped off? So clearly, we've got to raise the matter strongly that this budget, especially of education, should not be tempered. But also that of health must not be tempered. But clearly, I think the formula national is also clear. Education is 41, health is 18, going down. Clearly, those things must not be tempered. Right? Let's then. There's no other question to the MEC of Education Western Cape. Mr. Colwene and Ms. Robinson.
Chairperson, before the latter speaker spoke, I wrote my hands. Apparently, I wanted to say, much as we understand the sentiments raised by the Honorable MEC from the MEC from the Western Cape, but I hope it is more about lobbying his colleagues to take that as a political cautioning note. Because this committee, so far, I don't think it has any influence to take that concern any further. So it's really sympathizing the situation and it's my concern, equally concerned. Now, I wanted to further check. I'm pleased to note that he says the Western Cape has capacity to monitor expenditure, but we must be sure that he means, that is, that he has got the internal audit and machinery effective. One will be convinced only when he says it. I also want to share his conclusion remarks. He talks about learners, the number of learners fed out of those targeted schools. And he went further to say there's a total of 251 school gardens that are currently established. I want to check if does that imply that all the schools are targeted, or there are those certain schools that are targeted for this school garden. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, let me say that I'm glad that there are so many improvements. As you know, I'm also a former teacher, so education is vital and this is so important to us for the future prosperity of our country. So I'm also delighted to hear you expressing the sentiments that I have expressed in our discussions over DORA about the funding because of the in-migration and neighbouring provinces. And perhaps you do need to speak to your own finance committee, because this is something of which we actually share, but it hasn't come across. So I would also like to ask for a copy of the documentation that you send to the chairperson so that we can have a look at that. I was also pleased to hear that there are going to be increases in your staffing, and I'm hoping that this is going to help with the internal communication. I can actually take these matters up with you privately, but very often I find that schools are approaching me because they don't get communication, or they have sent in letters and there's just no replies, whether it's regard to staffing or other administrative problems, and I'm hoping that this is going to be sorted out, but I will talk about that to you privately, if we could just improve the administration, the communication between the department and your schools, who are not getting the replies that they need, particularly, for example, with regard to the appointments of staff. People were wanting to get their top management structures in place before the end of the year, and because the replies have been outstanding, the one thing has had a knock-on effect. But I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Let me just also say the following. Let people not be pessimistic. There is a review of the equitable share that is going on as we speak. Now, I'm saying this because all of those issues again would need the necessary attention. But as I was saying earlier on, My only problem, first and foremost, is what is being done in the ex-court, first and foremost. Whilst on the one hand, there is this ongoing review that is going to address some of the problems that the members and MECs are raising. For instance, what we've also seen yesterday is that the Eastern Cape Education is trying to pilot feeding from grade 7 upward. Now, we are worried about risks because, especially with Eastern Cape, the program is still it still has serious problems, just in Eastern Cape. But then they are taking the risk because they are doing exactly what the minister was saying. about two or three learners from the same family who must then be fed. So clearly, as we do all of these things, piloting this and that, must then be able to be careful of the risks. And this is why the provincial ex-codes are critical then in terms of these things, and the decisions that are taken then become more critical. So that as you do all of these things, you don't take the kind of problems. One of the problems is here, for instance, I'm not sure whether Tom Stark, if you've seen the presentation that was made by National Treasure, I think they have resuscitated their ghost educator. Because all of a sudden, the projection of personal spending is R1 billion. And the biggest of the provinces are not even projecting that, which is KZN, Gauteng, and the Western Cape. So these are some of the kinds of challenges that we must also handle. Let me see.
Okay, thank you, Chair. If I could just say one introductory thing and then a brief response to the two colleagues. We had the Minister of Finance in our legislature, and the document you refer to, the expenditure review, was the issue that was on the table. And I think the clear sentiment that we heard coming from the Minister is that there are sizable allocations to education, but the concern that the Treasury has is on the issue of outcomes, and that we were basically being challenged in terms of the dropout rates in maths and science and so on. So I think all of us accept that. But I think at the same time, I mean, the first honourable member who asked the most recent question surprised me, because in terms of the implication of what he was saying, it was almost, I thought, in a strange way, Chairperson, actually undermining the very role of this committee. Because my understanding is that this committee is needing to engage. You have hearings on the MTEF, you have hearings, and you are, as far as I see, in a position to influence. I'm a member of the Executive Committee, and obviously I'm there, but we are being called here to engage with you, hopefully to try and share the challenges that we are having, and indeed, in the hope that the issues that we are raising will be raised in the forums like the Budget Council, as you said. And so I must admit, Chair, I was a bit surprised at that particular comment, because it appears that...
That's right. As you said earlier, we for instance, are able to influence the FSC on the school nutrition. I'm also surprised you said it. In fact, the WIP also wrote me a letter that he has no confidence in the committee anymore. But you're right.
Okay. But then just to inform the member that the figure in regards to the school gardens is the school gardens that our department, with the help of NGO, have managed to set up. Just to clarify the number, we don't just mean, yeah, we mean a food garden. We don't actually just mean a garden. We mean a garden that adds value to our nutrition program. And then in terms of the last honourable member that asked the question, Chairperson, we will submit the documents to you. I'm sure you won't have an issue sharing that with your members. And I have received, because I've read the letter from the honourable member about a certain delay in an appointment of a staff member, and unfortunately we were not able to meet before we had to leave. But we will follow. But I think it is important, and I'd really like to appeal to all the members who are working in our province, you know, to feel free and to encourage them. If they don't, can't resolve a problem that a governing body member brings to them or a member of their constituency, to contact our office so that we can ask our officials to deal with it. But it's actually very encouraging that the honourable member said what she said about the department, because I want to place on record that we were very disturbed when we had to, because of a mistake that was made in SAC, where our children had to rewrite the one exam. A certain member of the National Assembly declared in a public statement that the Western Cape Education Department is in shambles. So it's very nice to hear that this honourable member doesn't share the same view of the other honorable member who issued that statement.
Madam Robinson. Let me say thank you very much. Let's then take...
I also just want to assure Comrade Dagmore that the President has got an interest in matters that take place in the Commission.
All right. Let's then take that other promise. The MEC is already agitated. Very much agitated, Reverend Lapiti. Not right.
Sir, I can be irritated. I'm very nervous.
Chairperson, I just want to before the HOD starts to look at the over R1 billion that is around our personnel. I think there are two parts in that. The around 400 million is around what was an overcalculation. And don't worry, Gauteng, the money is not with Gauteng. It's in the Northwest, around that overcalculation. Secondly, it is the issue of, as you said, the chronic funding of, underfunding of education that you almost mentioned that has been happening over a period of years in the Northwest. So we are down around, I think, 56%. That issue is being handled, and indeed it has given us problem in terms of our personnel costs. The other issue is the very issue that my colleague from the Western Cape said, the issue of the ELRC. At the risk of you wrapping my knuckles, I want to say that I think what my colleague was trying to impress is that these negotiations, at the end of the day, if they are not concluded, we remain with the money. And generally, when we come here or to any committee, they look at it as under expenditure, and we are still being wrapped on the tenacle. And we are trying just to say that sometimes it is not because of the incompetence of the civil service. Sometimes it's around the failure of negotiations to be concluded in time. Then we remain with this expenditure. And we do, of course, get our over, following the prescript that Mr. Benadi has said. Lastly, I just wanted to say that, indeed, the issue of lobbying EXCO, as the Colonel has said, and you said that he was discussing that EXCO. I really want to advise the chair that there is a body that is called PCC, the Presidential Coordinating Council. I think the premiers are sitting there. They believe among our colleagues, at some point, Chair, education used to get 51% of the provincial budget. That has gone down in most of the provinces. We don't know where a particular decision was taken to downgrade education, but it's almost in most of our departments now. And when you want to know the reason why, you are told exactly as Mr. Dagmore said, that we have put money in the past 10 years, but in terms of skills, in terms of subject matter, you do not see the satisfying outcomes. But education is an enhancement. That's what some of us are saying. So I believe that that body might need to be influenced to see that education gets the biggest slice, because we are told that it might be a legal problem or a constitutional problem, just because the view of provincial treasuries is that once the money is in the equitable share, it is in their domain to decide what to do with it. And I might even be told that look at there are other departments. The money that was given to education and taken to education is in other departments. We are very clear about that. We've done our calculations. So I believe an influence in some is being under, it has been given to those departments in the budgetary processes.
But in most of them don't really understand it. So then you get problems in our personal budget, for instance, and the not one. So I believe that your influence in bodies like the PCC must become handy so that the premiers must see to it that maybe it gets a higher level. So I would let the issue speak to me. Until next week.
With your indulgence, can I also just add, if you like, the figures in respect to the so-called resuscitated COVID? I've got reports that I wanted to keep. Okay. Coming back to the report, I will start from page 5. The rest is just information from page 1 up to 4. In terms of FET recapitalization, we transferred 49.9%, and we will indicate the expenditure as we manage to track it down to individual campuses and colleges. HIGNA is the actual expenditure of 28.03%. We are underperforming that, and we concede to that and will give reasons as to the remedial action. The infrastructure grant, we stand at 24.38%, which is an underperformance as well. National School Nutrition Program, 56.03%, we are galloping there. An over expenditure of 6.3%, and we will explain as to what's happening in that respect. Page 6. And we are saying under FET recapitalization, the spending performance is on track, is in line with the approved business plan. The spending is in line, as indicated, with the time frames that are provided in the business plan. So we are doing well there. HIV and AIDS, the bigger portion of the allocation was set aside for training of educators during winter school vacation. But unfortunately, as a result of the disturbances of the public service strike, we are unable to continue with that. But as we checked our expenditure, after the public service strike, particularly around October, the expenditure has picked up and is moving towards 46%. So we are confident that we are geared to meeting the target like we did last year, last financial year. Infrastructure grants, we are not doing well there, and basically the grant is dealing with paying final accounts for incomplete and outstanding payments of the projects that are dealt with by Public Works, but here we are indicating that I have personally had several meetings with the HOD of Public Works and the two chief directors to try and expedite the expenditure. And from the indication that we have seen after those meetings from particularly October, there is an improvement, and I'm sure in the third quarter we should be able to report a substantial improvement. The school nutrition program, we are moving too fast there. Chair, if you recall, we had the same problem more or less last year, where we indicated that as we put in learner transport, particularly in your commercial farming area, learners tend to respond positively and it creates an unforeseen burden on the figures that are provided in terms of the number of learners that are to be fed. To the extent that we have taken the decision that we will have to reduce the number of days for feeding from 5 to 3. Progress report in respect of HIV and AIDS. Advocacy there, all that we are saying is that we are underperforming as indicated. And then two workshops which were cancelled due to the public service strike and the implementation of the recovery plan are scheduled to start beginning of the academic year. And training, master trainers, our underperformance there is around only two. And we are saying generally we are on target. And the two that did not receive this training were not available. And the training of educators, all that we are saying there is that, again, it's about the workshops, and indeed those workshops will be rescheduled. Training peer educators, it relates to the same story of the disturbance by the public service strike, and the same applies to number five. And in respect of the LTSM, we are seeing we are well on target share. Recapitalization of the FET colleges. This is how we track the expenditure to individual campuses and colleges. In terms of human resource development, we stand at 96%. Development of systems and procedures, we are lagging behind. We are at 33% because negotiations are on course between Telkom and our colleagues from the National Department so that we get a special dispensation in terms of the rates that we are supposed to pay them. So until those negotiations are concluded, there will be some delay in that respect. Upgrading of classrooms, labs and workshops, we are at 82%. The spending is in accordance with the operational plan. Refurbishment of sites and facilities, we are at 88%, well on target. Building of new colleges, college facilities, there we are at 26%, and some of the projects we are indicating here are lagging behind, and the payment certificate also has been coming in recent months. And purchase of equipment, we are at 75%, which is well on course. Implementation of the new programs, we are at 57%. And we are saying we are well on course in that respect as well. And then school nutrition program, schools that were targeted have been reduced by 37, and this is as a result of the merger and closure of schools. And in terms of the learners who are fed, there's a reduction of about 3,868. And the number of days for feeding, so far we have fed for 89 days out of 141. And then food gardens, we have 304 that we have completed in terms of our target. Infrastructure, school building, we are only left with one project. And all that we are saying there is that out of 44 projects, 43 have been completed, and only one project will be finalized on or before the end of the financial year. Major and minor renovation, out of 8862, a variance of 26, and there are 11 projects that are still behind schedule there. Sanitation. We are lagging behind here. We had to do the rescoping because the scope of work exceeded the budget, and therefore that accounted for the delay. But already we have started moving there. Historically, we're doing very well in terms of sanitation, and I'm quite confident that by the third quarter, we would have exceeded the target. Mobile classrooms, the target was 250. We managed to provide 125, and what is outstanding is 125. The challenge here has been really around the availability of cash in the system and so on, to the extent that we have to delay even erecting fences for schools and take some of the money towards mobile classrooms as well as dorm rooms. Page 12, school building program, the performance is 71%, over performance of 21%. Sanitation, no expenditure, and infrastructure grant, as I indicated, 24% under performance of 25%. Maintenance 64.8% over performance of 14%. Farm schools, this project is lagging behind, but I think in the next quarter we should be able to report much more better than what we are indicating now. FET colleges, we are at 46.2%. Under performance of 3.8, but overall I believe that we are doing well. Rural Development Centers, 47.7, under performance of 2.3. All in all, 39.6%, almost 40%. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions? Comments? Clarity? Yes, Mr. Robertson?
Chair, there's just three questions on page 2. Under early childhood development, the service understanding there of 32.8%. Chair, I'd like to need more clarification on that one. And then, Chair, on page 4, buildings and other fixed assets and reasons for other expenditure, heading on the top. Progress is slow in respect of final accounts for infrastructure projects that remain incomplete from 2001. Now, Chair, that's 6 years. That's 6 years ago, and it would appear and I assume that there's a problem with the Department of Public Works, if they can elaborate on that one. And then, Chair, my third and last question is on page 6, National School Nutrition Program. And under remedial steps and remarks for that one, they've got feeding days reduced from 5 to 3 days a week as an attempt to reduce the over expenditure. Several appeals have been made for additional funding, but all was in vain. Now, Jay, I think it's grossly unfair that children should suffer who haven't got food. And the committee, we know how serious that is, where there is no food in the house. And I think that people have to cut food to children, Jay, is not acceptable. Thank you very much.
Comment first. There's a comment first. When I'm looking at learners spent, the over estimation that was done there, it makes me clear some questions because never clearly. Fed was meant to told us that the spikes that are there on the expenditure has been justified because of the due to the miscalculation of the one probably what we do as well this demarcation. I'm asking myself, does it mean this my province really made this estimation taking into account all those demarcations, but they still over estimated? No, fine, the comment. Now, the question I have so far is yeah, it's mobile clinics. Mobile travel numbers, sorry, mobile classrooms. We have budget targeted at 250. Now, so far you have 125. The question I have there is, this outstanding, can this camp, where are these, what is going on now? Are they under the tree, or what is the condition plan? And furthermore, question of fencing. I see the reason advanced today, I understand it. Yeah, we are waiting until the storm, what's called, is over. But why there is no target? Why there is no target? As though you were never prepared to move in. That's my concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also our thanks to the Northwest Province. for the input. However, sir, I just noticed a contradiction here on page 6. I don't know. I suppose it's 6. Yeah. Page 6. Around HIV, there's one reason for understanding there is because there was no schooling, teachers were not there. But on the National School Nutrition Program, there's overstanding. I'm saying I see a contradiction, but who was there when we were there? Why do we have an overstanding when I assume that there was no schooling during a certain time? And we're understanding elsewhere because there was no schooling. Can we just get a clarification as to what's happening? And clearly, I mean, the question that Comrade Colony raises around this dreadful word called planning. Because my understanding is that the allocation is in relation to what was called requested. And now, if there are problems with planning, I mean with overspending, is it because of planning or what? But Chairperson, there is an interesting slide here. I'll tell you now, I've marked this slide. Slide 12. Infrastructure Development Fund. I don't know. I'm not sure whether it's one of what you were talking about, this development fund that are there in the Northwest. Is it what you're talking about here? Because somewhere it talks about infrastructure grants. I just want to be clear because there's a whole basket that one does not understand this mixture, the sanitation and what. Where does this come in here? Where does this money for sanitation come from? Is it coming from your provincial infrastructure grant? Because if it is so, I have a question. Specifically for sanitation. Yeah, Chairperson, I think that's my take.
All right.
Just to link up with my colleague, Thomas Robinson here, on page 6, the 3 days, okay? If you're going to 6.3 on page 9, then the province estimated in the beginning of the year how many kids, because it's a grant. So if you're estimating in the beginning of your financial year is correct, so you had to feed so many kids for so many days for the year. And now you're running short because that's a grant. I'm not really, if I compare that 3 to 5 days, because you had to feed 5 days a year and there's about 100, and if you go through the whole year, it's 180 days. School days a year, more or less. Between 150 and 180. Some schools not paying when there's exams or things, but between 150 and 180 days per year. So if that business plan was added into that, the county is then running short and cutting off of that. So just linking up with my comrades here to say there must be explanation. What was the problem in the beginning? Not now. Thank you, sir.
Sorry, sir, can I come? Mm-hmm. The person, the MEC, that is what they try to explain these calculations around the personnel or what? I'm not concerned. I didn't understand what he's trying to say, that there were miscalculations that resulted in a billion that they are short of. What is this miscalculation exactly? Where did it happen? Can you get clarity on this?
MEC, don't respond to that one. We have a solution to that one. We will give some directives in respect of that one from the chair. Let's just respond to the other question. It's a big one. Don't worry about that one. It must be resolved. It will be resolved. I can assure you. So don't respond to it, because we've got a way forward for that one.
Yeah, check. Could I just answer this issue of the PSNP, the fitting? Jefferson, there are some things with unintended consequences. When we did the issue of the law fees, you found that the children have not been going to school. Okay. I think we estimate we got around 14,000 on that. Hello. And the way they said in the farms, you have children who have not been schooling, and since the dispensation of the food and the issue of the non-fee school, you have a bigger number coming. In government, rarely, very rarely do you get what your business plan asks. We asked, for instance, around 100 million, we got around 80. So, sometimes it's a problem of the cake that has to be cut. Clearly, there is a problem in terms of cutting this to the way it would satisfy us. But even last year, we had the same problem of overspending on this issue. We have been told by Treasury that last year, I think it was helped by our provincial government to help us on this one by 18 million. We have requested that this time we must speak to the National Department of National Treasury, and a letter signed by myself has been signed to ask for help on this matter. We realize that the 3 days are very little.
They must answer there, yes.
But we need to answer. We need to feed the kids. The issue of food, Jefferson, is a very sensitive issue. You don't know how you can not feed children who are at school.
Yes.
No matter the numbers that you feed. When they are there, they need to eat. And we find ourselves either getting into more trouble by overspending there. But even when we have done some business plans, as because of the case, normally do not get what you ask for. And I don't blame national government for that, I must be very clear. But what we planned for was 100, that's not what we got, and yet even an overspend last year.
Chairperson, in respect of page 4 of the document regarding projects that come from 2001, Chair, I can indicate that unfortunately that is the inescapable truth, that these projects are dating back to 2001. And we are attempting to address, they relate to final accounts, they relate to incomplete projects. And over the past few months, we have sat down with our colleagues in Public Works to expedite that process. And consultants have been appointed by Public Works to expedite this process. So far, I can confidently say that I'm quite hopeful that we will close this chapter of projects that are outstanding since 2001. The last meeting with Public Works was held last week to assess the progress. No, that I cannot say. The workings of Public Works, well, the understanding is that is part of their operation. Some of their work is done by consultants, by quantity surveyors.
Okay, sorry, just a follow up on that.
Okay, Chair, the other one was about, the MEC responded to the feeding scheme matters. The next one related to ECD, performance of ECD. Well, we acknowledge that ECD stands at I think 37%. It underperforms, but usually ECG performs overall as we move towards the end of the year. But I acknowledge that the performance as it stands now is 32.8, and it is down by 17.2. That includes payment of subsidies to ECD practitioners, as well as the implementation of the integrated plan for ECD. That program caters for that, and I acknowledge that we are underperforming there. The issue of the mobile unit, as to while we are waiting to deliver these mobile units, where are these learners? The learners are in the classrooms, but they are in the overcrowded classrooms. We don't have any record that points to the fact that learners are under trained in the Northwest Province. All that we have is overcrowding in a number of schools where we are providing these mobile units. The difficulty again, Chairperson, here is about the mobility and the agility of your commercial learning area, which is very nomadic in nature. Today they are here, tomorrow they are elsewhere. So it's very difficult to come up with fixed structures. The best way is to follow the trends of the movement and rather deal with them in terms of providing mobile units.
Sir, I wanted to say something around this particular issue. One of the problems is this, the issue of preferential procurement processes. For instance, in this business of mobile classes, there were very few companies, actually when you started, there were not more companies in the number that was providing the mobile classes. Recently then, when we did this, there were companies which we believe that we could empower and affirm. And the delay is with them in terms of the delivery processes. Since some of them actually competed with the people that usually supply. And that has given us a bit of a problem in delivering in time. But we are hopeful that they will deliver within the financial year, the last 14 months.
Well, I can also add to say that the Premier has commissioned a study on the migration patterns in the province to empower us to plan better in terms of the learner numbers in your commercial farming areas, because it's very difficult, even with Statistics South Africa, to have a complete handle over the matter. So we have commissioned a study in the province so that we can use that data to improve our planning. Regarding fencing, we should have a target. I don't want to say it off the cuff, but I remember we were thinking of 50 schools that would have to fence within this financial year, but we should have included it again. Not accept that it should have been included. Contradictions between HIV and AIDS program and feeding scheme, there is no contradiction. The MEC explained the trend of overexpenditure of NSNP, and therefore there's no contradiction. HIV and AIDS has to do with the training of educators for the school holidays. So, Chair, I'm sure you'll agree that there is no contradiction. The issue around planning, provincial treasury in the Northwest says that the final figures of the cross-boundary municipal disestablishment could only be confirmed by the end of the financial year. Now, budgets are initiated around August, initial inputs and so on, and finalized fairly early. And as a result of that, figures that we use to inform the final allocation of 2007 and 8 were unconfirmed figures until the figures were confirmed by the end of March and also verified with a split that happened from the personal system. The document that I showed you, Chairperson, contains the unconfirmed and confirmed figures. There's a complete tally now that gives us a sense as to why the overstated figures and what is the financial implication of that.
that, at least as conditions in the system.
Sanitation?
Chairperson, could I clarify whether the colleague should not come back? In what we speak about is we said more numbers than actually the ones who were to go to housing in the Northern Cape. We put in there more numbers. So that was then more money that had to be out of our budget system. But after the numbers were confirmed, it was fewer, I think about 2,000 or more, from 8 to 6,000 something. That is the overcalculation that we had made, and then went with the money. But as I said, it is not to say that then the money was just given to Gauteng. I believe that it remained in the province.
Porter, your follow up, Porter?
No, they haven't finished. They haven't finished.
Okay, proceed.
Sanitation is provided for from the provincial earmark fund in the province. Estimation on the feeding scheme, we do work on the figures that we have this year for next year, and we also look at the growth patterns in terms of the learner numbers, and we factor that in, and after the 10-day school survey, then we confirm the numbers, and that's actually what comes into the business plan that we forward to the national plan. Thank
you. Chair, regarding of on page 6, this allocated budget has been ring-fenced for completion of outstanding capital projects from 2001. Here, I listen and I hear what was an explanation to say public works was low and there was no meetings and the consultant was actually appointed to complete that project. But here, from 2001 to 2007, there must be escalation of building costs. Now, who will carry that? And in 2001, was the Education Department and Public Works signing a contract, service contract between them to say, that school, that must be built, that must be done on these conditions and at that time frame. Who will carry that escalation cost now? Because a school or a classroom built in 2001, you can't build it in 2007 for the same amount. This escalation of about 30-40%. Those who are new building, they will know. It's about a 40%. So if that is, let us say this, 20 million rand, work was not completed. And if it added a 20 or 30% to that, who will carry that cost? Where will that money now coming from? Is it education of that budget or public work? That's not answered to me. That's a question mark for me, Chair. And so, Chair, this cross-boundary educated from one province to another province. Originally, when you budget, and that the province was allocated that money, either from Limpopo to Mpumalanga or vice versa, that money will be remain there, and that province has to feed that kid, so that money must come to the province to do that. So, a little bit of a solid question for me. Chair,
we can just go back to page. What's the page number, Chair? It's under second quarter expenditure for page 23.3. And the capital expenditure was 23.3%. Regarding conditional grants, it was 26%. Now, Chair, it's just a statement I'm going to make. If you don't service your car, and the service costs you 1,000 rand, and you don't service, that car's going to break and you're going to buy a new car for 100,000. Now, Chair, this is what's happening with maintenance of buildings and all that. That if it doesn't get done, at the end of the day, it just becomes far more expensive to do the job. So, in other words, we'll never catch up. And then, Chair, I want to come back to the school nutritional one. Chair, in my province, the Eastern Cape, I saw this happen 2 years ago, where it was cut from 5 days to 3 days, and then at the end of the day, the whole thing collapsed. And the red lights are flashing, Chair, and it wasn't properly answered, the question that probably Donnie raised after me. When they say actual numbers of learners fed slightly lower than estimated at the beginning of the year. And I'm emphasizing that point. But there's something that's not being said to us, Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Collins.
Yeah, Chairperson, a follow-up question. That classroom overcrowding, I just want to check if that situation does not, in a way, lead to a plateauing system. Because I'm aware that that has been happening sometimes. I'm not sure now. Now, one other question is coming out of the food garden, which is the figure there looks 100%, 304. But by the nature of our province, rural, maybe I have an overestimation to think that it should be more than that. But having said so, I want to check if in the nutrition program you have any room for communities in terms of poverty elimination, because communities must in a way benefit out of this program. It should not only be for the benefit of already established entrepreneurs. We need to hear more about this.
Madam Scholar.
I want to make a follow-up on the question that Comrade Water raised on this issue of the public works. You also raised the question clearly, and the HOD, in his own way of responding, couldn't make a very clear statement whether, when you ask whether public works has capacity or not. He didn't want to come out very clear. But I want to remind him that it was, I think it was around 2005, when this committee invited departments of education and public works from province. And this issue was never raised by Northwestern. There are projects that are incomplete. It's the first time now that we hear it today, over the time that we've been engaging with this Northwest. It's surprising. But I think that we do need to get a very clear answer in terms of saying whether Northwest Public Works hasn't got capacity to deal with these issues, but also to indicate that in that previous meeting where they indicated to us that now in the Northwest, the relationship, the work that is taking place, I mean, public works has capacity to contain education. To say, no, actually, we were wrong in saying that. But also, Chairperson, further to say, the Department of Education in Northwest must provide us, this committee, with the number of those schools, the number of those projects that have not been completed since 2001, and the progress thereof, so that we can take it up elsewhere. But true Chairperson, on the issue of the national school nutrition, I would really like to hear the NEC is saying that they have written letters and, to no avail. It's not clear whether they have not received any adjustment as far as the nutrition is concerned. There were no adjustments. But secondly, I think national department must also comment on this matter as to exactly why is it that the rest Northwest has not been what you call assisted in terms of the budget to in terms of sufficient budget to provide for those what you call the kids. Thank you.
All right. I did observe the CFO being surprised when the MEC was speaking, and he immediately sent one official out to get more information. I was allowing them this discussion to proceed until he's back. And so I do want to allow the CFO only to comment on that matter, which was really surprising him at the time. And then we'll take it from there. Over to you, sir.
Honorable Chairperson, it seems that I will not be able to become a poker player. I must stay away from those kinds of games. But now, Honorable Chairperson, at official level, we could say that we have not yet received the letter. It may be with the minister. At this stage, she was
on the post.
It may be, Honorable Chairperson, it may be the office. She was abroad for a week and she's just returned. So it could be, and we will deal with it as soon as we receive it at the official level. Honorable Chairperson, if you will allow me to just add one thing maybe. We have been working quite closely with the Northwest Province and with their provincial treasury as well as with national treasury during the course of the year. Myself, I've been in the province and of the senior financial officials in the department. We've been there a number of times. I think we've been there within the last week as well. So the interaction is taking place and we're trying to assist. But just around the CWG and the infrastructure issue, Honorable Chairperson, I do not have the fine details. But perhaps we can just clarify one or two of the principles around it. If the money for infrastructure and the responsibility for schools is with education, then it means CWG becomes the agent of education to just put the structures in place. And whatever the cost may be, it will lead to the account of education. But, Honorable Chairperson, again, not knowing what the details are, but if you say something has been dragging on for 6 years, it could be that it's just an administrative mess, but there could also be real issues which we do not know. Let me use a real example. Let us say a contractor is appointed to build a school, and halfway through the school...
Let's stop you there. Stop. Housing calls it lost project. Okay? But then my first problem really is... I'll let you in. My first problem is... The MEC says... They received 80 million rand for school nutrition. Now, I have a problem with that. Because the Bible here tells me that The allocation was 87 million. Conditional. Now it couldn't have been reduced to 8. The next financial year, 08-09, is 94 million. And then in the outer year, it's 101 million. Now, the first problem is, what is the basis then of these allocations here? It's a matter that we need to engage with and resolve. But let's then say to Northwest, let's allow the interaction that the CFO talks about to continue. In other words, let the national department continue interacting with yourselves to resolve the issues. One of the issues that must be resolved is that projection and the miscalculation. Two, the project 01 up to now must be resolved. Mr. Potter is right, who's going to fund those 2001 up to now? National Treasury must be involved, Provincial Treasury must be involved, PWD must be involved. Part of the issue that must also be looked at is this issue that is raised of overcrowding of classrooms. And the matter that you were raising, which is very critical, the unintended consequences, no fee schools, that all of a sudden have caused some escalation. The matter that must be, but also what must also be investigated is why are you downscaling on feeding, when in fact your national department is coming up with a particular number of days that they are proposing. They did say that to us last time out, 5 days. So that must just be investigated. And whilst that is going on, let's also attach two oversight persons just to get reports to the committee. So those committees would be Mr. Kolweni, because he's from that province, going to be assisted by Mr. Sokoni, just to be getting reports on an ongoing. You see, we're a stressed out committee, we're a small committee, we'd love to chase all of these things. And so these are the contact persons that must tell us exactly what the outcomes are of these interactions. I think it's going to be able to assist us in that fashion. Rather than, let's say, look at everything that is problematic in that department, in the north, with a view of assisting. Bottom line is, what we're raising here are issues of cooperative governance. There's no crisis. Issues of cooperative government and governance, where national and other departments must be assisting each other to be able to ensure that this department is on its feet. The MEC is agitated today. Before he started, and when the agency was speaking, and already he's opposing what I'm saying. Mr. Silabis. Proceed back. Your last word then on the matter. Anyway, what do you want to say?
Because I want him, when he says his last word, to address the issue of polling. How long is this issue of Hollywood going to be there? I want to put him on the spot. I'm putting him on the spot.
But I'm not agitated, Chair, please. I'm not. I've said that the issue of acting or who needs attention on it. Look, I can't say things again. The media will catch things. but I can say on the Hollywood issue, that's a spot. Secondly, so that I must not be burned, Chair, on this issue of my right in the matter. Indeed, when I left for overseas, I was informed about this matter of the FMP. I came back this Sunday Monday, and I have a letter that will be going to the minister. So it's not, I don't want you to say that yes, it should be done, whatever. I have been told that you were told that we should not use the provincial funds, but approach the National Department of Treasury. And I have wrote a letter like that. They're going on, I think they will find it, but I don't want the minister to say, why do you say you're presenting to me when it has not yet arrived? Just wanted to clear that one out. The second thing is the issue of PSNP. Even at national, the minister...
No. Do you disagree or agree with the process where...
I do agree.
That's fine.
Well, okay.
Then deal with all of those details amongst yourselves and report to us in the
session. Okay. I should answer the question.
Don't worry about those questions.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Just say your last word now. Whilst you're not on the air now.
No, I appreciate coming here. And indeed, it is important that we be held accountable with the view to help us. And we are satisfied.
Thank you very much. You seem to be, you know, when you raise questions and more hands are coming up, we always say, as you deal with this, some other cans of worms come up. Let's take the, well, we can't be funny with a brand new MEC, Mr. Mulsan.
That's an old one.
Of course, you've been in the system, in agriculture, and welcome to education.
Honorable Chair of the Committee and honorable members of the Committee, my colleagues, staff from the various departments of education. I'm going to say very little. I just want to make one or two remarks, particularly around issues which were also raised by the Honorable Chair there. With regard to the slice of education, the slice of infrastructure, and the slice of health in the provincial budget, that indeed we are fortunate we had some discussion last week in the Executive Council and began to see that we must actually not impact through the decisions of the Executive Council negatively on the, you know, the targets we have set around those particular areas, specifically in view of their importance in development of our own people. I just want also to say that I have had the opportunity to engage with the different programs in the department just to see as to what makes us as a department not to reach the standards and norms in terms of expenditure patterns as expected. I'm quite comfortable that based on the reasons which have been advanced, that we will be in a position to deliver quality spending, not only spending, but quality spending, because quality spending should actually be related to the progress which we have tabled as a department before the legislature of the province. So I'm quite confident that we will be in a position to deliver quality spending, you know, in terms of the budget framework which we have been given, and that the plans will be executed in the manner that we ensure that those delivery options which we have suggested are realized. I was also saying that I also want to say that there is beginning to crop up a problem in the province, particularly with the area of Kwagwa, where a number of schools have been built during those past times when we still had those what we call homeless governments and whatnot. Those schools are deteriorating at a very rapid pace, and as we go forward, as a department, we have to look very carefully into processes of ensuring that we actually begin to budget, whether in the creation of new ones or in in renovating the same ones would have to do that. Otherwise, in fact, that area would be left with schools which can actually be dangerous in terms of safety for the kids which are going to be there, going to attend there. The other thing is that I think we have to monitor very closely our relationship as the Department of Education with public works with regard to infrastructure delivery. I'm not quite comfortable that what this agency of ours is doing actually advances, one, our image, two, enables us to to deliver at the pace at which we want to deliver. Basically because there are other things unrelated to professionalism that might be creeping in and actually stifling delivery at the level of the expectation of the department. I also want to say that at the present moment we did have pressures around platooning, overcrowding, and whilst in fact we contemplated initially going the triple C route to deliver, we have actually decided against it. And together with Treasury in the province, we have come up with measures that will ensure that as April starts, we are able to start with the 6-15 schools. And we have a time frame, if we can do them within 2 years, which we have prescribed for ourselves, would be a very happy group of people. We'll do them with all considerations of empowerment and all that, but at the same time, we want to do them in a manner that would ensure that we don't have situations where, you know, cash flow problems arise, and schools are not built, and all those things. We'll come with a mechanism that will ensure all parties benefit, but principally that we are able to deliver that quality within the framework of 2 years. And lastly, Chairperson, having had this discourse with the various programs in the department, I'm comfortable that then the processes and steps we put together to ensure that we overcome those blockages and inhibitions are quite fine, and that would be the solution. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My HOD will talk to the detail of the whole thing.
All right, just before you say this, let's also say the Auditor General is serious about your own involvement. In other words, political oversight. And we agree with you. And therefore, it becomes useful to be a bit hands-on without really micromanaging the department. That's very critical. Because as and when these things are raised, they can't only be pointed to the agency. You are a team. And therefore, it's a matter that we must also stress. But number two, the relationship that you also talk about, the MEC of Public Works, is also regulated in terms of this Bible. Verse 14. To be that you must enter into, implement, and manage service delivery agreements with national or provincial departments, national or public entities, and any other organs of state where such departments, entities, or other organs of state manage or undertake construction or maintenance on your behalf. No two ways about it. No buddy-buddy about it. Clearly, service level agreement, and therefore the performance. That's the only basis of those matters. Proceed, Ajoji.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable committee members, MECs present here, and colleagues. I'm going to start on page 6 of the presentation, and that will be on the conditional grant spending at the 30th of September 2007. An indicate that HIV and AIDS was understanding at 40.79, and I'll indicate what the challenges were there. National School Nutrition Program was at 56.60. Provincial Infrastructure Grant 43.01. Infrastructure Enhancement 48.17. FET College Recapitalization, it was at 50%. And I need to indicate, Chairperson, that we've got two grants, Chairperson. We've got the one that come from national, we've got the provincial one, like we've indicated previously. And we've been having problems with the terminology. That was the advice you got from our treasury, that maybe this one will be accepted. Maybe I need to indicate that the second tranche of transfer payments to FET colleges has been effected with effect from the 1st of October 2007, and that the money now is with the FET colleges that we are spending. Chairperson, going to life skills and HIV and AIDS, performance measures, we have set ourselves targets, and in the main, those targets have been exceeded. For instance, advocacy orientation meetings for parents in 30 schools. We're targeting 30 schools. We ultimately were able to reach 39 schools. And also with the training, master's trainers, training of GT subject advisors or learning facilitators, as they are called in the Free State. Life skills and HIV and AIDS, we initially intended training 30. We were able to reach 54. 60 FET college, FET schools, learning facilitators in life skills and HIV and AIDS, we were targeting 60, we managed to reach the 60. Training of 135 officials in basic counseling and referral skills, 103, we were able to reach the actual target of 107. Training of 90 FET officials in conflict resolution and facilitation skills, the target was 90 and we were able to reach 90. The training of 40 officials in teenage pregnancy prevention programs, the target was 40. We've been able to exceed it by 27, so we reached 67. Training educators. Top-up training for 1,300 ECD and GT educators. We're targeting 625. We're able to reach 384. Training educators in No Apologies program, we targeting 38, we reached 150. Training of 500 FET educators, 258, we reached 300. Rollout of cross-curricular integration into our schools, we reached 136 ultimately. Training of EMGDs, of SMTs in 300 schools, we've been able to meet the target 100% there. With regard to CAN support, same 300 educators in basic counseling. In this financial year, we're targeting 75. In this financial year, we've been able to reach 152. Training 150 schools in substance abuse and victims and delays abuse program. This financial year, we're targeting 25. We've been able to reach 95. Train 150 ministers and pastors in care and support, we've been able to reach the target of 115. Establishing 80 schools as nodes of care, target 80, actual 80. Parenting project to prevent teenage pregnancies in 40 schools, target of 40, and we've been able to reach 80. Peer education. Train 2,000 grade 10 learners in the RES peer education program, we're targeting 600 and the actual of 629. Training of 34 out-of-school youth to implement peer education. We ultimately were targeting 30 and were able to reach 30. The challenges with HIV and AIDS, Chairperson, have been that due to industrial action, workshops were postponed during the school holidays in June. And the available time now that remains in the financial year is reserved for national curriculum statement training, because Chairperson, as you'd be aware, that we're working on the new curriculum and the implementation thereof. Now, training for HIV and AIDS has therefore been restricted to afternoons, weekends, or it has been postponed to September and December holidays where possible, where it does not get into the time for NCS training, which is a priority, because it touches on teaching and learning. National Food Nutrition Program. We have been able to provide meals for all school days, 184 days. Voluntary food handlers have been appointed to schools, and they are given a stipend of 500 rand each per month. And the schools are given 300 rand per month for gas and fuel per school. We've got 637 schools with existing vegetable gardens, and here we're working in partnership with the Department of Agriculture. And each district has 20 schools participating in nutrition education, learner support. We want to indicate here that we're covering 413,000 primary school learners in 5 districts. The Free State has, Department of Education has 5 education districts, and we're covering 413,546 primary school learners. We're facing some challenges there with NSNP, Honorable Chairperson, which we want to share with the committee. We want to improve the quality of meals. We have gradually introduced improved menus within the limitations of the budget, because when you want to improve the menu, the service providers want you to increase the payments to them. And within the constraints of the budget, we have not been able to do that, but some have been cooperating to the point where the menu has been improved. Improvement of monitoring of service providers of National School Nutrition Program. We have appointed monitors in all districts. The vastness and the rural nature of the province still poses a challenge, but the monitors are visiting schools to check the extent to which we are succeeding in feeding the learners. We need to increase the capacity in the finance and procurement sections in the directorate. We need to because these are the people who pay service providers, and we don't want to have any backlog, so we are going to be increasing the capacity there. Getting to infrastructure, with your permission, Honorable Chairperson, by the end of the second quarter, the expenditure for infrastructure was steady at 47.79%. And I need to indicate that the expenditure was below the 50% target due to the late appointment of contractors by the Department of Public Works, Roads and Transport. This challenge is addressed by providing the agency, the implementing agency, which is Public Works, with the plans of the department a year earlier, by April of the previous year, a year earlier, so that a year in advance they should be knowing what our plans are with regard to infrastructure. By the end of October, the expenditure has improved tremendously to the point where the target is 58, we are now at 60 due to the interventions that we have. We have regular monthly monitoring meetings between the implementing agency and the client. And monthly reports are applied and discussed, and they are also submitted to the NGCs, indicating the progress that we are making with each project and where there are challenges, the necessary interventions and remedial measures that have been implemented. We have intensive quarterly reviews led by the provincial treasury on infrastructure projects. And in those meetings, the three MECs see with the three HODs and the officials, where we go project by project and we see the progress that we're making, and we're also looking at the expenditure patterns. The infrastructure program consists of the following. Major capital implemented by Public Works with a focus on eliminating platooning schools and overcrowding. And like the MEC has indicated earlier on, we plan to eliminate platooning schools in the next 2 financial years. Starting in April next year, we intend eliminating all the 15 overcrowded and platooning schools in the province. Minor capital projects are implemented by the Department of Education in collaboration with the school governing bodies
where we target renovations, maintenance and provision of basic services like water, sanitation and electrification. And we've got agreements with the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry and also ESCOM to assist in the implementation. Chairperson, with regard to FET recapitalization, I've indicated already that we've been able to transfer the second tranche of payments for the second semester to the tune of 18 million. And by the end of October, the actual expenditure has improved to 83.04, that you read in the bottom of page 14. But if you look college by college, you'll see that all colleges are presenting very favorable pictures, with Madrid FET College really delivering in terms of their expenditure. With Goldfield at 55 and Motewa at 54, and Flavius Mareka FET College at 65%. Achievements of the FET recapitalization grant. The FET College staff, 257 of them received training according to identified needs to ensure the effective implementation of teaching and learning, as well as managing the implementation of the NCV programs, curriculum programs. Training will continue during November, where NCV level 3 lecturers will be receiving training. We have also been able to upgrade the physical infrastructure of the FET colleges.
Don't give us the glamorous picture. Tell us the problem.
Okay.
And what are you doing about it?
Where we've got achievement, Chairperson, with your kind permission, I'm going to skip those. With infrastructure, but suffice to say that the colleges are really presentable and they are beginning to attract a lot of students. And that is going to help our Free State Provincial Growth and Development Strategy. Chairperson, I want to submit to you that the learner population has improved, student population, tremendously at our FET colleges. The challenges with FET recap are as follows, Chairperson, and I refer you to slide number 19. We still have inadequate student support services due to shortage of human resources at FET colleges. Math and English language skills need extra student support. In that area, we need some extra support. We have also inadequate staffing of FET colleges at central office for them to be able to implement the new FET Act. We've got also inadequate qualified lecturing staff to teach specialized NCD programs. Engineering field of study is a mammoth problem for the FET colleges. This problem has been raised at HEDCOM, at the national level, and HEDCOM is giving attention to this matter because you find that the majority of the lecturers there are qualified artisans, but they are not necessarily qualified as educators. That matter has been raised at HEDCOM. Much more attention is to be paid to improving the skills of educators to enable them to meet the demands of NCV. Major effort has already been made in this regard, but we still maintain that more still needs to be done. We face challenges relating to human resource recruitment, retention, and professional development. And these issues, we say, they need to be addressed. Problems with the contractors that are paid through the recap funds, they don't keep to the specifications of the service level agreement. They fall behind schedule. When we issue our tenders, we don't get enough response from competent contractors. And the building material is not delivered on time. Chairperson, I need to indicate in conclusion our monitoring mechanism, more especially with infrastructure where the NEC has raised serious concerns. Currently, we're building capacity in the department to manage our infrastructure reporting money. We are building capacity in that regard. And monthly and quarterly reviews to ensure that activities are successfully executed as planned and enhance strategic decisions regarding infrastructure delivery. We are in the process of revising the service level agreement with the Department of Public Works, Roads and Transport to improve service delivery. We have an existing one. We are busy revising the existing one so that we are able to meet some of the challenges that are meeting us. Timers, payment of contractors and the speedy processing of invoices between the two departments. The Auditor General's office objected to us transferring the money to Public Works Housing Transport. So what they have to do is when they receive the invoices, they have to submit them to education, and education in turn has to pay the contractors. We are trying to streamline that process so that we don't have any delays in that route. We also have formal infrastructure review meetings between Provincial Treasury, Department of Education, Department of Public Works, Roads and Transport. We have them at the level of officials, at the level of HODs, and at the level of MECs accompanied by HODs and the officials. Going to slide number 22, the monitoring capacity of the department in general, and that will be the final slide, Chairperson, is that we have in the department monthly finance committee meetings to discuss understanding and remedial actions that we are going to be taking. These meetings are chaired by the HOD, and the MEC also comes to this meeting as and when he is available. We also have quarterly review sessions held to provide feedback on service delivery and on the budget. Monthly expenditure reports are sent for the attention and the comments of the head of department and the executing authority, the MEC. Letters are written to managers to understand, to inform them of the status of their expenditure and the implications of their understanding, and where responsive managers are not able to spend, and they cannot provide proof that they'll be able to spend, the money is taken to address other priorities without making the workers suffer. Where understanding persists, affected managers are brought before the executive leadership and the MEC to account for their failure to spend. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, MEC.
Bullet 2 relates to what we call political audit. And I think the MEC must be there. It shouldn't be when he is available. That's critical. Quarterly review sessions are held to provide feedback on service delivery. Critical. Shouldn't be optional. He must prioritize these meetings. That's very critical, because he must have this thing called political audit. The issue I was raising earlier. The last one is interesting. Yeah, you know, the last one is interesting. That's where you're supposed to take action yourself, and therefore you are trying to shift the goalposts. People must account to the MEC when they have to account to you. They are your own manager. And so when a decision is taken by yourself and the MEC, you want to say, no, it is not me, it is the MEC. Two, for me, is more critical that the MEC is there, and four, belongs to you and your manager. So that then you whip and whip and whip correctly. So that when people appeal, they must appeal to the MEC.
Yeah.
That becomes a problem if the MEC was part of that discussion of discipline. Did you get my point, MEC? And I'm trying to be to defend the executive authority here. He can't be sitting there when people are brought to book, disciplined, and so on and so forth. People must also appeal issues of substantive fairness, procedural fairness, and other things. Now, if the MEC was there, would people have come in? This thing called natural justice is very much critical. Right? That's the first thing. Mr. Colin, perhaps you've got another question.
Yeah, well, the Chairperson members come with questions. Let me allow me to make just three words of comment. Because maybe my age means that I might have to do it. Whether it comes to...
You want to go back to the FET?
Whether it comes to moral generation issues, it makes sense to me. The target they have there, if these figures are correct, leaves one inspired to find that we are despite these targets. But really, it's a good thing. Maybe before the chairperson tells me that should not be impressed or my impressed with the number of support. I must also indicate that achievement on NSNP volunteers who tell us that also that really impresses me, because he talks to me. It addresses the question of poverty in the nation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, on page 3 of the presentation, early childhood development, second from the bottom of that slide, they've only spent 38.93%. But, Chair, if I can elaborate on that one. And then, Chair, on page 4, I just need some clarification as well. Under household, Chair, I'm having a bit stupid. I don't know what household expenditures are, 20.43%. And then capital assets at 38.72, buildings and fixed structures is down to, no, that one's fine. And then machinery and equipment, only 3.99%, Chair. Chair, then if we can go to page 5, and okay, sorry, Chair. Page 5. Program 1 administration, ICT equipment, 36 million. Procurement has started and rollout will commence from November 2007, Chair. Now, my question there would be, when will that be finished, seeing we're going into the December break in January? So, I'd like to know, get a time frame from that one. And then, Chair, coming back to the early childhood development at the bottom of, second from last on the bottom of page 5, transfers to centres delayed due to non-compliance. Chair, I want to know non-compliance of what? Because it refers back to my previous question on understanding on the early childhood, development. And then, Chair, on page 6, the provincial infrastructure grants is also underspent by about 7%. And I'd like to know what that relates to as far as public works goes, Chair. And then, Chair, my last one is on page 12. And this is always a problem in most of the provinces. The second bullet, the expenditure was below the 50% target due to, which we know, just mentioned it, the relatively late appointment of contractors. Now, Chair, I come back to a question I've asked in the past on numerous occasions. On the medium term, you know what your 3-year plan is ahead of you. Now, why is it always procurement or late appointment of contractors when you know what you can spend over the medium term and over the next 3 years? That's all for now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Sobhani.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Harare Seru MEC Omusha. But it's an old horse with MEC. It might be new in education. Some color, I guess, because I'm looking at what page is this? Page 4 of Equitable Share. Well, it has nothing to do with what we're doing, but if you look at the total expenditure, it's 22% at the end of September. As I say, that it does not necessarily constitute part of what we're doing, but 22% at the end of 6 months is a problem. I see on page 12 the question that my colleague, Comrade Robertson, was talking about. The HOD says spends 47%.
Are you talking about the total department spend?
Yeah.
22.6. It has everything to do, you know what? Precisely because there is a direct link between that performance and the infrastructure grant. There is a direct link. if this this money is performing at this level, then the question is, why do they even have the IGP? Because the IGP is clear here in terms of their performance. Now clearly, in terms of that money, if they underperform at that level, then they are broken. So clearly there is a direct link, Baba.
Yeah, now, chairperson, you are the chairperson, I must rule on this thing. The National Solar Affairs, in their document, my note has been said explicitly this morning, that their figures are signed off by HLC. Now, the figure that National Solar has for infrastructure here is 34%, not 47%, on the document of National Federal. Now, HOT is giving us 47%, which is the right figure now. Is it 34%? In other words, Treasury's figures are wrong. Some facts. Because somebody gave National Treasury 34%, and today we have got on page 12 at the end of second quarter 47.79%. But if it is 34%, then it means that there's a problem again with your implementing agency, your public works. But public works was here the other day, and they were posting about their capacity, being overcapacitated to deal with these issues. Can we just get that clarity?
Yes, thank you. I'm a little bit now between provinces, and you must reel me out of order.
Are you dealing with the same now?
Yes.
I'm not in between provinces.
No. Now okay.
And we're dealing with the Free State Department.
If I'm looking in the Free State, say the budget of the Free State for school to nutrition, yeah, is 68 million. Yeah, school to nutrition 68. They feed 413,556 children 48 days a year. I'm correct. Please say. 184 days a year, and your total budget is 68.023. See, now I'm worried. Not about the Free State, but the HLD from Northwest, out now. But their budget is 87 million. Call him back.
Come back. Come later.
Perhaps he said, have
a...
Let me work with him. Let I start. Free State feed 430,546 children, primary school children, having 184 days a year. With 68.023 million. Northwest feed most of the same children, 41,000 something children with 87.96 million. So actually they're 20 million rand more than Free State, but they only feed 3 days a year. Well, 3 days
a week.
Where the Free State feed total was 20 million rand less. So I can't understand that explanation. How can the Free State do this? But Northwest with 20 million can't do this. Perhaps perhaps the two provinces, they are close, come together, let the one guide the other one what must be done. Because, let I say, please take them well. But here is 20 million rand left, but they are short. The cake are too small. But the other side, the cake is suitable. Now, that is, this chair just remark is like the roads what I show you. One is building a road for 2 million rand a kilometer, other one was built the same condition, 5 million rand a kilometer. Now, here is exactly the same. I don't know, perhaps the one get steak and the other one get bread. I don't know. That, perhaps it's something like that. But this not working correctly for me, if that is the case.
All right, just before he goes, he was already thinking that. Let's hear what is it, what we have to say. Are you feeding steak and kidney pie, pizza, and all of those things, and therefore the Christian is only feeding brown bread? Tell us. He's saying, if the Christian did it, why can't you did it?
Yeah, no. I would have done it the same as you are doing it. In the first place, the honorable member is absolutely wrong. We have been feeding for 5 days, and we have indicated that we are going to start feeding for 3 days.
No, he's right. Switch off. He says, switch off. He says, you are planning to decrease the number of days. And yet your amount is 87 million. The Free State remains static. And yet the amount is far less than yours. Talk to that.
Okay, let me finish. I said in the first place the honorable member's comment indicated to me that it's absolutely wrong. Mm-hmm. We have not been feeding for 3 days, we've been feeding for 5 days. Now, because of the projected shortfall, we are reducing the number of feeding to 3. And then we can also go back to the business plan and indicate the number of days that we intended to feed. And that information we can provide to you. The second variable, Chair.
I'm going to get some assistance now from the big boss on my left, Mr. Sokol.
Now, I think that the question is not understood, Chairperson. The question says there's more or less the same number of kids to be fed. The Free State is able to manage with their budget 20 million less than they were because. The issue of days and what is really secondary. But the issue that the question is raising is that Free State is able to manage. It's seeking kids every day with this, and they have not raised the issue that they might be what you call asking for adjustment or what. So I think that is the gist of the question. So as to why is it you talking this way that are they feeding pizzas and what so that in order to that's why that there are 20 million rand more. So I think that's what maybe Nkatemwele should be trying to address himself to. But I didn't think that this question was really for him. They got the budget. It's the Department of Education that allocated this budget. Not them. They are merely recipients of this. Thank you.
We've got a process in place that must unfold. Because again, even the no-fee schools are not only in Northwest. The other provinces also have the no-fee schools and rural. This is very rural. It's in Cape Rural, Cape Town Rural. Because they also raise that as part of the problem. So we were saying, therefore, those are some of the things you shall be looking at, both National Department of Treasury and the Provincial Department. Because really, you see, part of the problem here is that they were also using, I'm not sure why,
The cross-border issues is another problem. But now, having talked to the cross-border, they then talk to no fee school as a problem. Unintended consequences. Yet the other provinces have not raised those. So clearly there's another box. Once you go home, just ponder those things so that as you interact with these other stakeholders, we do want to get a clearer picture in the third quarter about all of these matters. There's also an injunction that says, let us lower the cost of doing business. And maybe then that's another matter we might be looking at. But thanks for raising that, Mr. Porter. It's a matter that must look into in terms of this further discussion. Is this a matter of life and death?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Mkali.
Chair, I think the explanation is now brought to the fore that the question asked is relevant and intended. So the honorable member couldn't be totally wrong.
I'm wrong. The figures here in front of me is wrong. Either the Free States are wrong or Northwest are wrong. Because the figures of the learners for the total of the year on the business plan according to the report is the same.
No, you're right, sir.
The one that received 87 million, the other one was 68. In their business plan and the projections here, Free State said they will feed their kids another 84 days a year with the budget. If Northwest say that, because if on page 9 here, they didn't say that they were reducing that somewhere or somewhere. They said here, learners fed so much, actually number of days fed 89 food garden filter. But say example, and I accept that they can say from now on, they're only feeding 3 days. Then still, my question is so, why can the one province feed for less money for 148 days the same total of children and the other province with 20 million rand more? If it is for 3 or 4 months, it makes no difference. Feed their kids.
Where is this money going
less. To? Where's that 20 million rand who then spend? This is why I'm asking. Is the feeding process the one that takes in kidney or chips? And the other one is bread. I mean, there must be, if the one province gets much more feeding, then the other province, kids will be moved from that province to that province to get more feed. So that's my question here. So I don't accept that the agency said I'm wrong. Because the figures in front of me indicated to me, if we can meet later on and then he can explain to me the figures of what, then I will accept it. But I can't accept that I'm sitting in this house and said I'm wrong. If the figure speaking to what is actually what I'm saying.
Chair, I think it's easy to solve this problem. One of the provinces in education, I just can't remember which one, came in that their feeding per kid was something like 150 per day. So now, the question I would like, and if I can give it to us in writing, is what is costing Northwest per day per child? What they're feeding them, and if we can get the same from the Free State Chair, then it's easy to compare. Thank you.
Yeah, Chairperson, I want to suggest that. I want to suggest that the question raised by the Honorable Member is quite relevant. I have similar observations. But I didn't want to come up with it. And I want to suggest that this exercise is driving us to a point whereby we may, as a committee, necessarily have to ask for some further questions, even beyond this public hearing, when we take things into comparison. I hope that, no, like yesterday when we listened to Eastern Cape, there were programs that could not be executed with some excuses that due to a major fire, good one, but that doesn't come off here. So we're still going to observe a lot of other things, similarities or as well as quality spending, because this one talks more about quality spending. This is a function that we have to take into account. Thank you.
All right. Let's also then say the national department must also look at this comparison. Because I think that's another bigger problem. If there are issues of efficiencies, et cetera, et cetera. And what lessons are we learning from this? Because it's a serious issue that we must deal with finally. But also national treasury working with them. And let's really have a broader picture about the resources available, the targeted people, the beneficiaries that are benefiting, and so on and so on. So that as and when people also take decisions to reduce, are these justifiable for them? Now, you may go now. We will then expect the report from all of you as you interact with the national structures. As we did say, Mr. Kolweni and then Mr. Boni, you would be receiving the report on our behalf, CFO. When all is said and done, it must just be sent to these two gentlemen as speedily as possible. Any other questions to the quick take? None? MEC, quick take and your HOT.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I need to indicate that the under expenditure of ECD, as indicated in the report, is due to the failure of ECD centers to comply. So we will not continuously transfer the money to them if they are not able to comply with the audits that they have to get into and with the bank accounts that have to be in place at those centers. Chairperson, I need to also indicate that the household needs attention. I'm going to focus on this and get the clear answers as to why the expenditure is so low. I'm not able to provide answers, and my apologies for that. I'm not able to provide answers now. Now.
This is where the problem starts. The park stops with you. You've got to provide answers. You are told you are an accounting officer. What account? Well, let's be nice today. Let's not allow it next time. So that when you leave your office, you must have all the answers right there. And this is why I was saying that bullet there is the one that you must, as a manager, must ensure that your manager manages. Therefore, they give you all the necessary answers. Proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you. On ICT equipment, I need to indicate that we'll be able to spend this money. Already, 10 million of this money is been spent, been committed. Because before we roll out ICT equipment schools, we secure the buildings where we're going to do the event. 10 million has been spent already in terms of butler proofing and also providing the tables for the computers where they're going to be put. And we are moving, Chairperson. We are dealing with companies that are having a CETA contract and will be moving with speed and will be able to spend that money. The provincial infrastructure grant, where there's been under expenditure, partly also that is the responsibility of the department, that indicates why. It is through the project that we run through the SCP. What has to happen is that the SCBs have to be workshopped on how they have to deal with their tendering processes, and they have to invite tenders, and we have to sign SLAs with them, service level agreements, and then they have to invite tenders. Once they have invited tenders, and we have a successful bidder at a particular price.
Now you're talking infrastructure time. The issue you are talking about related to infrastructure grant. That's not a conditional grant.
and therefore you're shifting the goalposts to the SDGs.
No, Chairperson, I was actually referring to the provincial one. Provincial one. Never it is.
Bottom line is, it has conditions. That is the bottom line. Do people comply with the conditions?
Okay, Chairperson, maybe you answer that, yeah. I'm actually through. This was the last one responsible.
No, I'm raising this because we really are talking conditional accounts. And part of the critical issue here is whether people are meeting the condition to be able to do this. And therefore we can't be complacent about it. And just give out money for the sake of giving money. But then the MEC wants to come in.
No, there can't be anything different, which I would actually say. I think the point that you are raising is a straightforward point, as I said, cutting the conditions. It's a conditional plan. So this is in the framework of those conditions. And it's our responsibility to see to it that people comply. And if we have not been doing that, in fact, we have to put in extra effort to make sure that it's done. So I can't talk about that. And the last thing which I would want to say from my side is that I don't think, in fact, I was saying anything outside the framework which you talked about when you referred to the relationship between the department and the agent. I was not saying something amiss. All what I was trying to say is that I am not comfortable that monitoring, that control, that we working specifically within that agreement. Because, you know, some of the things that actually delays the processes of putting the structures on the ground or infrastructure is as a result of our lackadaisical approach to issues which are so critical. For service delivery, and something drastic needs to be done. But I was also saying, Chairperson, that there are a lot of programs and processes. You know, the issues we could begin to raise as members of the committee, you know, why this and not that? Why this difference, 20 million? Why this and all that? Perhaps to do with issues of efficiency. And that it should be our continuous responsibility, mine. You know, personally, my capacity as a political head, I think it's my responsibility to see to it that there is help for money on the issues and the programs which the department is in. And I'm not quite sure that at all times we have our finger, you know, on the pulse, you know, of the organization, but that is something which you have to answer. Thank you very much.
Well, those are wonderful. If you want to say something, you say at this stage, nationally?
Not very specifically, Chairperson, but you've listened carefully. I think we do have the information back home on what the average cost, for example, on the MSMP per province, per learner, per meal, and what the numbers are that I'm going to say. So we do have it, I just don't have it with me. But we will be able to respond to you to yourself.
On the conditional grant funding framework, because their conditional grants do not have to follow the equitable share formula, so the frameworks are worked out around the need for the specific grant within the various provinces, and it takes those kinds of things into account.
not just an equitable shared distribution of funds. We can expect that some of these differences can be worked into how the manager board.
All right. When we come back, I want us to go for lunch. We'll be taking the MEC out here. There is the Rising Sun and the North Guard. Everybody is invited for lunch. There's some good, sumptuous, healthy lunch for everybody in the old assembly dining. Interrogation sessions are now over. Let's go for food. We'll be coming back for more after lunch.